Gabby.
Hey, Anna.
I'm really excited to kick off this new podcast project with you, especially since we've made it exclusively for our JLV show, Mream.
Me too. I've been looking forward to it.
Should we tell everyone what it's all about?
Sure. This is our brand new JLV Show Mream podcast made exclusively for the most generous and committed supporters.
Yeah, just to make sure everyone remembers, the JLV Show Mream are a special group of donors to Jewish Learning Venture who have committed at least $3,000 over the year to support and sustain our agency.
That's right. And because of that generosity, we came up with some new and fun ways to show our appreciation to all of you listening. It's because of your support that we're able to do the many incredible things JLV does to empower families raising Jewish children to make Judaism meaningful and relevant for themselves.
Exactly. And that's what this podcast is all about. It's about saying thank you to you, our Shomrim, by giving you a really fun taste of what we love most, exploring Judaism and how it relates to our lives.
Each episode, we'll dive into different Jewish learning experiences. We have some really exciting guests lined up to teach us.
I'm excited. Let's dive in.
Let's do it.
Okay. Today, we're going to do something we don't often get the chance to do, and that's tell each other about a Jewish text that has really inspired each of us. For those of you listening, you can follow along with our source sheet for this episode by going to jewishlearningventure.org/podcast and downloading the source sheet under episode one. So I brought a piece of text here to share that has really been important to me in both my personal and professional life.
Great, Anna. Let's hear about it.
So this text comes from the Torah. This is from the portion called Yitro. We are in Exodus. Just to set the stage for everyone, we have left Egypt and we are almost at Mount Sinai. And Yitro is Moses' father-in-law. Sometimes in English, we call him Jethro. And he's come to visit Moses and the Israelites to see how they're doing. So I'm going to read you this portion, and then maybe we can talk about it.
Sounds great.
Exodus 18:13. Next day, Moses sat to judge the people, while the people stood about Moses from morning until evening. But when Moses' father-in-law saw how much he had to do for the people, he said, "What is this thing that you are doing to the people? Why do you sit alone while all the people stand about you from morning until evening?" Moses replied to his father-in-law, "It's because the people come to me to inquire of God. When they have a dispute, it comes before me, and I decide between one person and another, and I make known God's laws and teachings." But Moses' father-in-law said to him, "The thing you are doing is not good. Lo tov. You will surely wear yourself out, and these people as well, for the task is too heavy for you. You cannot do it alone. Now listen to me. I will give you counsel, and God be with you." And then Yitro will go on for a number of verses after that to explain to Moses a better way of setting up a system of judgment through a hierarchy, which is actually the way in which our judicial system is set up today in America.
So, Anna, that is a great text. I love that one, too. What about it has made such an impact on you?
You know, there's so many things about this text. First of all, it's important to know for me that Yitro was actually my bat mitzvah portion.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So this text has been with me for a really long time. It's one that I've returned to many times over the years. And there's so much richness in this portion, but this particular section really resonates with me and the way in which I see leadership, especially when Moses tries to explain what he's doing, and he's trying so hard to do so many good things for the people, and Yitro says, "It's not good what you're doing, actually." He explains to Moses that he can't do it all and he has to work together with others. This is something that I think really has inspired me in the way that I lead and the way that I see our work at Jewish Learning Venture as a collaboration, especially when I think about you and me, Gabby. We get to do this together.
Yes.
And that's really neat that we are in this together and neither of us is doing this alone. It's not about what you believe is the best or what I believe is the best. It's what we can find together and serve our community as best we can.
And it's a really unusual model of leadership that we're doing by leading together. And I think it's interesting that Yitro is kind of observing Moshe's natural inclination and putting out there, hey, this could be a better way.
Yeah, it's really neat. And something that's meant a lot about this portion to me is who Yitro is. So one of the things that's really interesting about this portion, especially for me and my family, when my mom and I were studying this text together in preparation for my bat mitzvah, it was my mother who noticed that Yitro is not Jewish. And that's a story that has a lot to do with my family. My mom chose Judaism. She converted. And her family have been incredibly supportive of our Jewish journey. We celebrated many holidays together. Her mother, my grandmother, who passed away a couple of years ago now, was very dear to me and always supported all that we did and learned as much as she could about that. And so it was so interesting and affirming to read this story about a person in our leader's life who brought an outside perspective and brought warmth and wisdom and really showed him a better way. They really were able to see beyond their differences. And that has resonated with me and my family since we discovered this part of the text back then.
A really expansive way of looking at community, right? Because we talk about community a lot in our work. And, you know, when we talk about our JKID Philly program, we talk about for families just like yours, because we imagine that in our Jewish community today, there are lots of families where, in the way you're describing with your mom, she made a choice to become Jewish, but it didn't mean she was leaving her family, her mom, behind, and how your grandmother became part of those Jewish celebrations. And it's amazing to think this is such an ancient text. And here's this relationship between, you know, our greatest prophet, Moses, and his father-in-law, who isn't Jewish, and the very intimate relationship between them.
Exactly. I really found this such an important text, and it has a lot to do with my family, other families, and our work.
So I think one interesting way to look at text is to really put ourselves inside of it and imagine ourselves as the people in the text. And so I'm wondering right now in your professional life, who do you relate to the most? Is it Moses or is it Jethro, Yitro?
Oh, what a great question. I really would, in this case, relate to Moses, which is to say, it's so helpful when you're so thick in the work of trying to serve a community to have other people around who are trusted, who have your best interests and the community's best interests at heart to help you see there is another way to do things and perhaps even a better way.
Very cool.
Gabby, I'm really excited to learn about which text you brought to share with us today.
So the text I brought, Anna, has also, like you, been one of these texts that's been really important to me for a very long time. It's Genesis 21. We're going to look at verses 14 to 19 today. And I started getting very deep in a study of this text when I was getting my master's in Jewish studies at the Reconstructionist Rabbinical College, which is now about 20 years ago. And for my master's thesis, I actually wrote a series of midrashim, of stories about the relationship between Sarah and Hagar, who, wow, if folks don't know, is her Egyptian maidservant. So they appear in a number of texts together, and there are some very powerful, components of their story, but there's a lot that isn't written that we can imagine about the day-to-day, what happened between these two women from two different backgrounds and two different stations. But something about this piece really always spoke to my heart. So I'll read the text and then I'll share a little bit about what I love about it. In this moment, as you'll hear, Abraham is actually sending away Hagar and her son Ishmael because Sarah has asked him to do that. Early next morning, Abraham took some bread and a skin of water and gave them to Hagar. He placed them over her shoulder together with the child and sent her away. And she wandered about in the wilderness of Beersheba. When the water was gone from the skin, she left the child under one of the bushes and went and sat down at a distance, a bow shot away, for she thought, "Let me not look on as the child dies." And sitting thus afar, she burst into tears. And God heard the cry of the boy, and an angel of God called to Hagar from heaven and said to her, "What troubles you, Hagar? Fear not, for God has heeded the cry of the boy where he is. Come, lift up the boy and hold him by the hand, for I will make a great nation of him." Then God opened her eyes, and she saw a well of water. As I said, 20 years ago or so, when I was really deeply immersed in this text, I wasn't a mom myself yet, but about the experience of Hagar's relationship to God, that God sees her when she's in pain. And it's not this message from God that, similar to what Moses receives or Abraham receives, like, go and make a great nation, like, go do this task. It's more like a very intimate experience of Hagar sitting there crying in the wilderness and God just seeing her in that pain and providing this angel who, in our Jewish tradition, we have so many stories of angels as messengers of God providing this water. And water has so much symbolism and resonance, and that she's able to live and her child's able to live, just as a text, just had such a profound sense of resonance with me. And then years later, fast forward, when I had my son, George, who was born in 2003, when he was like around age 2.5, we started to notice a number of developmental delays with him. And we went through a very long period of taking him to different physicians, and we had a number of evaluations. Eventually, he was diagnosed with autism, and it was a moment in my life where I felt really lost because I didn't know the best way to parent him. I didn't know what was ahead for him, and I felt like those tears were very real and very immediate for me. And I'll tell you, that sense of being cast out, that we read in this story. I had one experience, Anna, where George was in this daycare that we had just, been on a waiting list for, and it was like the ultimate daycare we wanted for him. And I remember the day that the director of the daycare said, George can't stay here. We can't support him. And how I felt like I wasn't in the desert. I was sitting in my car just crying and like, where do we go next? And I'll tell you, it was really those angels, those other parents of kids with autism who helped guide me, who were like angels, who showed me how we're going to take the steps ahead. So this text is really dear to me. And I think professionally in my work with whole community inclusion, that's very much what we've tried to establish, like a place that parents, when they're in this state of being lost or not sure where to go, that we in the Jewish community want to, you know, this might sound a little cheesy, but we want to be the angels, in the sense that we want to be messengers and say, there's a place for you and your child. You are in no way cast out. You are here with us in community.
That is an incredible story and such a beautiful and heartbreaking piece of text. I think so many parents can resonate with that feeling of just, you can't stand the thought of your child suffering.
Yes.
But then to layer on this feeling that you felt as well with Hagar of being cast out, and on top of everything else, on top of your worry for the well-being of your child, to also feel cast out of your community and your safety. What a heart-wrenching story. But one of the things that I think is really interesting as I think about this piece of text and your story is toward the end of the text that you selected here, it says that God tells Hagar that she will make a great nation of this child. And you also took this pain and made it into something beautiful and great.
Oh my gosh, Anna. I think, again, that we don't know the possibilities, right, for our children. Yeah. Yeah. You know, and Hagar and Ishmael in this story really are, you know, they're undervalued. You know, they could, if this miracle hadn't happened, be cast out to die. And instead, that's right, the story is transformed into one of life. And I think when we imagine the potential in every child, it you know, anything is possible. And that I want other parents to really hold on to that, you know. And I've spoken to you about this with my child. Like, he is someone, because he has an intellectual disability, who will need support all of his life. But what we've come to understand is that doesn't mean that he doesn't have the opportunity to have a super meaningful and beautiful life, right? And it's a change in our understanding that some people need some supports to get by. Some people need a lot of supports to get by. But regardless, that's not about the value of the human being. And I think that in this moment in time, we're understanding the value of all people in a different way, whether they have a disability or not. And I love that in our work across Jewish Learning Venture, by working towards inclusion of all people, just through whatever we do, we're, you know, when we ask people, do you need any accommodations, like a sign language interpreter to participate in our programs, we're just normalizing, like, some people need support, some don't. Everyone is part of our community.
Exactly. I think that's incredible. You know, one other thing that's really coming up for me in this text is this idea, as you say, of the angel, the messenger. And we know from a different text, we have a beautiful image of the ladder in Jacob's vision. And one of the incredible teachings from that text is that we see that in that vision, Jacob sees the angels going up and then coming down. And it's very important they go in that order, because what we learn from that is that the angels are us. We are the messengers. And we just can't tell always which person we're looking at who is the messenger. Yeah. And I'm sure that must have been true in your life. I know it's been true in mine. And also, sometimes we don't know when we ourselves are that messenger and bring that comfort and light to others.
I think that's so true, Anna. And I think, you know, again, like in our Jewish tradition, we have so many examples of these angels and these messengers, whether, you know, all the stories of Elijah the prophet who's disguised, right, as a very poor vagrant type of person and turns out to bring this incredible, you know, healing to the community or whatever it might be. And that's right. And I think whether, you know, in our Jewish tradition, people resonate with God and what's mystical on so many different levels. And so even if on a spiritual level, you don't imagine that there are angels or messengers who come from that spiritual realm, I think every human being can recognize who were those teachers, who were those people who came to me when I really needed a certain kind of support or friendship, and that's just spoken of all through our tradition.
Yeah, really such an incredible text. And here is Hagar also, who is not one of the Israelite people.
Right.
Another person in our texts who really helps us to see something in a new light.
Yeah, I think it's really interesting that you and I each chose texts where a prominent part of the text was someone who isn't Jewish. And that takes us back to say this has been, an ancient part of our tradition, that the notion of who's in our stories, who's in our community, really is very expansive.
Absolutely. Wow, Gabby, thank you for sharing this with us.
Oh, and I'm so glad we could study these texts together and also share them with everyone who's listening. Wow, Anna, this was such a wonderful experience. I really love the opportunity to get to dive into some texts in a new way.
What an amazing start to this podcast. I'm so excited to bring more episodes to our Shomrim.
Me too. We are so grateful to all of you who have joined Shomrim and are making it possible for us to make such a difference in the community.
Thank you, everyone, for your support and for joining our brand new podcast. Talk to you next time.
Bye.
Bye-bye.